Hi, I'm Crazy Keshe, here with percussionist composer Taufiq Qureshi at his cozy personalized music room studio. So, Mr. Qureshi, my first question to you. Since when have you been making music?
I think I have been making music since I was a kid, because music was always there in the house. Students coming and practicing, my father teaching. My father is in late Ustad Allah Rakha, and my older brother Zakir Hussain, Ustad Zakir Hussain, practicing. So sitting down with him with some instruments, tabla, and trying to create what he's playing. So that's part of making music. And many times I would listen to the radio as a kid, and I would feel like, wow, this is great music, R.D. Burman's songs especially. And I would take some pots and pans and imitate, you know, trying to imitate the musicians who are playing behind the song. Also, I would be very much impressed by his vocal percussions. So I would try to create that vocal percussion that he would do all the time. All that. And I would say, wow, and I would try to do that. So that was, again, trying to create some music. But actually, understanding the creation of music, I actually understood once I came into college. And I realized that what making music is all about. And that's when I started collaborating with musicians. I even formed a band. Name of the band was Surya. And I started... Then I started composing, actually properly composing music. I also started composing for Gujarati plays and small jingles, trying to play, you know, small recordings. And that's when actually professionally I started making music. But, you know, Keshav, to be very honest, for a musician, making music starts from the time he or she is actually born.
So, as you said, you've come from a very prestigious family, and you have literally been making music since you were a child. So, were you inspired to make music and compose by your family itself? And did you have somebody who you idolize outside of your family?
So, the tabla was always there in the family, right? But I was always, as a kid also, like I said, I was influenced by so many other elements, you know, like some song on the radio, I would be like, wow, I want to do this. My father cut an album with a very senior drummer in the 60s. His name was the great Buddy Rich. He's no more now. And it was called Rich a la Rakha. And for the first time, I heard some other rhythmic sound apart from the great tabla. And I felt, wow, what is this sound? I guess my first influence, apart from my father and my brother, was Buddy Rich. And as I grew older, R.D. Burman, the great R.D. Burman, music composer. And later in my life, when I came into college, I understood, like I really started understanding music, I was influenced a lot by Trilok Gurtu, the great percussionist, and later Vidwan, T.H. Vikuvinayaka Ramji, is the great Vidwan of South Indian music. So, I have learnt formally, traditionally from my father, influenced a lot by my brother Ustad Zakir Hussain and all these other musicians who I just named.
So, your father, Ustad Allah Rakha, who I'm sure his life is also very much entwined with rhythm, he was your guru. Yes. So did you learn everything you know from him, or did you create your own style of percussion?
Yes, a lot of my training has happened under him. But as I was influenced by so many elements of music, my father used to always tell us, don't learn music with blinkers. You know, remove these blinkers, you will see music all around you. That is something which I took in a very serious way. So I would find music anywhere. So that's why, although I've learned from him, I have in my own way incorporated a lot of elements that I have taken from various musical genres. One, of course, fusion music. The other is rhythm. For me, rhythm has no boundaries. There is no boundaries. Actually, for music, there is no boundaries. But in that sense, rhythm is one feature which actually has no boundaries. You can create rhythm from anything. From table to chairs to dabba, batli, anything. Your own body, your own voice. So, the other elements that I incorporated in myself, that I did on my own. By observing some maestro play the djembe or the conga. By observing another great maestro play the drums and trying to see what that could be. By observing other composers and trying to bring that element of composing in my own way. Into my songs, into my compositions. So all that has actually happened on my own. There's not been any formal training from anybody, except you can say in a way, learning the South Indian rhythmic patterns from the great Vidwan Bhikkhu Vinayak Ramji. Otherwise, every other element of music, I have learnt it on my own by observing and talking and exchanging ideas with others.
You have actually been known for playing a lot of international instruments, percussion instruments. So how did you manage to observe these instruments back in those days? And how did they come about?
That's a very good question. You know, at our time, we did not have any internet or YouTube or any such thing. So it was not possible for us to observe maestros playing various percussion instruments. And neither did we have proper international connections whereby I could get my hands on various percussion instruments. And I was always interested in other rhythm. So I went out of my way and I requested Zakir Bhai to bring me percussion instruments. And he was kind enough to do that. And that's how I increased my collection of percussion instruments. Tabla was my groundwork, and I was lucky that I had God's gift of a touch for sound. And so I explored all these instruments to produce the best possible sound coming from that instrument. And that's how I increased the repertoire of my world percussion knowledge.
That was lovely, and as you said, you think that rhythm is universal, and indeed you are one of the masters of the djembe, which is an instrument of African origin, and I believe that you have managed to incorporate Indian rhythms onto the djembe. And how would you have managed this?
Tabla rhythms onto the djembe came actually to me as a surprise, because I was always trying to find one instrument where I could define all that knowledge that was there in my head from my father. I tried it on the drums. I found it lacking. I tried it on the congas. I still felt no. Something is still missing. Bongos, dumbek, darabuka. I tried a lot of instruments. And actually, at that time, I also had the djembe with me, which was the first djembe was gifted to me by Ustad Zakir Hussain. But I never looked at it as an instrument where I could define all these things. I would play it and I would just put it aside. Till one day, about, you can say, 10 years back, 9 to 10 years back, when I was sitting with that instrument and I was trying to play something, and I said, oh, wait a minute. This is sounding like that rela which I play on the tabla. This is sounding like that. Okay, let me explore it. So I explored it a little further, and I realized, okay, if I can play this rela, then maybe I can play that composition also. And then if I can play that, then I can play. So it suddenly came as a surprise. One day that window opened, that light went on in my head. Okay, I think I can do something with all these compositions. And that's how I started. Because you see, what happens is, when you're playing the tabla, you have to understand there are three frequencies which are combining to make all the combinations. Bass, mids and highs. The drums also. This bass is the kick. The mids are all the snare and tom, and highs are all the cymbals. The tabla, all the bass is coming from the baya. The mids and highs are coming from the chati. So you have to have one instrument which can give you all the three frequencies. When you get those three frequencies, then you have to figure out how to use those three frequencies in order to define those compositions. And that those three frequencies I found on the djembe. So djembe is older than the pakhavaj, the tabla, the drums, everything. It is prehistoric man's instrument. So that's how I started exploring and exploring. And that's why I zeroed in on the instrument, which is the djembe.
With time, your music has evolved and actually spread all over the world. And you've won many awards for this. Tell us more about this.
It's always a pleasure to perform abroad, because the audience out of India is very disciplined. Concerts always start on time and nobody gets up in between. They wait for one piece to finish, and then if anybody wants to leave, then they leave. Very disciplined audience, very responsive audience, and no matter what music you are presenting, if it's good, then they will give you a full hearing. And there is always a very positive response from people when I perform my djembe solo or when I do my vocal percussions. Because like djembe is an instrument which is popularly played all over Europe and America. But I played in a very traditional Indian way. So djembe players over there, they come backstage after the concert and they are very pleasantly surprised to find me playing this instrument in a very Indian way. Also, a lot of beatboxers come to me and they say, you are doing beatboxing, but it's very different. So I explain to them that, look, I'm doing the breath rhythm. And they are very fascinated because nobody is doing this rhythm using the breath. I think I'm the only one in the world actually who's doing it. And as vocal percussions are a special act which I do, I have used this element of vocal percussion to compose music for advertisement jingles which have won international awards. For example, I composed the track for the Indian Railways in 2009 which won the gold at the Cannes International Film Festival in 2010 for Indian Railways. Also, a couple of years back, I did a jingle for Nike, which won the bronze at the Cannes International Film Festival last year, as also the gold at the London International Film Festival.
So I believe that a few years ago you had performed during the Commonwealth Games, and you had actually represented India in its percussional glory.
I was fortunate to represent India at the closing ceremony of the Commonwealth Games in Melbourne. I had composed the music for the entry of our mascot Shera, and the Commonwealth team wanted me to be present at the venue to perform with our mascot Shera's entry. It was an unforgettable moment. I felt like a Roman gladiator riding on a chariot, entering an arena filled with lakhs of people cheering for you. It's a moment that I will always be proud of and cherish for the rest of my life.
That was lovely, Mr. Qureshi. And so, obviously, you have done a lot with your percussional skills throughout your life, and you've gained a lot of experience. But is there in any way that you're still learning and you're still growing your percussional skills?
To be honest, yes. I mean, when I did my very first world music album called Ridhun, which came in 2000, I went about creating music which was never ever tried in India on the world music genre. And Ridhun was a landmark album, and I learned a lot while doing that album and composing music for that album, collaborating with artists. And every time actually I get into a project, I'm one of those guys who just doesn't like to be happy with, okay, this is the topic, this is the theme, okay, I'll do this. I try to go into the very core of that theme or the topic. For example, recently I did a jingle for a brand where I had to create a jingle using only switches, you know, electric switches. So the switches have only a tick-tock sound. So I created a whole jingle where I even created a melodic content using switches. It is for Finolex, and people can watch it on YouTube, Finolex switches. So I created a whole track like that. And recently I performed at a very prestigious event where I had to compose music involving various islands of the Pacific area, like Micronesia, the Tonga Islands, Kiribati, Vanuatu, and so many other islands which I hadn't even heard of. So when I went and I searched for their music, I realized that they have such beautiful music, rhythmic music as well as melodic music there. And I really got to learn so much while composing music. I had to fuse the island, the music of that island with the coastal areas of India, you know, predominantly Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Goa, West Bengal and Maharashtra. So I had to take one island from the Pacific Ocean and fuse it with the island over here, maybe Bengal, and then so on. And so taking various ideas of music from all these Pacific islands and then collaborating them with our coastal areas was a learning experience for me. And that's why I think I'm one of those musicians who likes a challenge thrown at me. You know, I would like to have these kind of music compositions to do. So rather than, I mean, I do work in films and in background music and all, but I like something different, something which does not involve the regular use of instrumentation which goes behind a song or a background score. So yeah, I'm always waiting for a challenge, and it's always good to do these kind of projects because they push me to my limit. And I get to learn new things, and I love it. Yes, thank you.
You have actually recently formed a band called the Mumbai Stamp. Could you tell us a little more about this band? Because I've heard that you have very unusual instruments that you use.
For a while, I have been wanting to do something with recycling trash. For example, used paint cans, buckets, trash bins, bottles, plastic. And once I saw the performance of this very famous band called Stomp, which also uses trash to create music, I was very impressed by them. So I decided to form a band called Mumbai Stamp. Of course, my repertoire is very different from Stomp, as my music predominantly revolves around North Indian and South Indian rhythmic disciplines. And I use a lot of Indian folk grooves to create patterns and rhythmic motifs. Mumbai Stamp is very popular, and we have performed at various classical music festivals, popular music festivals, as well as many corporate shows. And Mumbai Stamp has also contributed in a very big way to a lot of popular hit Bollywood film songs. Very soon, I intend to do a full-fledged Mumbai Stamp album.
Thank you, Mr. Qureshi, for this lovely interview and with your evolution from the start of your life to what you've been doing now. And I think this will be very enlightening for listeners outside of the Indian culture in the West. So thank you for this. And I'd like to say that I'm a big fan of yours.
Okay. Thank you. Crazy Kesho. Is that what you call yourself?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Keshav, for having me on this interview. And I hope that whatever I have spoken does enlighten people. Thank you.
Thank you.